Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus Service Update, Avoiding High Memory and CPU Usage Pitfalls. Today's presenters are Robert Mara and Andy Passman. Robert joined IBM Services in 1998 and moved to the IBM Software Group in 2000. Robert is currently the worldwide WESB Level 2 support team lead. Andy joined IBM's Hersey Lab in 1985 as a developer and has since been a member of the WESB performance team prior to joining the WESB Level 3 service team. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Robert and Andy.
Thanks, Joseph. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to the WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus Service Update, WSDE, Avoiding High Memory Usage and CPU Usage Pitfalls. We're going to go ahead to slide two, please. During this presentation, we will cover some of the known factors that directly affect WSD memory usage, the collecting of initial data for support when you encounter an out-of-memory set of symptoms, how to prepare to capture data during a reoccurrence of the symptoms, information on the latest WESB memory and performance defects, and where to find additional resources. Slide three, please. So there are many factors which affect WSB's usage of memory. The four main areas we see problems arise for clients are the processing of individual large messages, a concurrent processing of a large number of messages through the mediation flow, flows which iterate over elements in a message, such as when using the fan-out and fan-in primitives, and also heavy usage of mediation subflows. Slide four, please. So collecting initial data for support. If an out-of-memory condition occurs unexpectedly, we need to capture as much information about at the time of occurrence about what is occurring then. Items which would be of use to support in troubleshooting this scenario include the following. Heap dump output. The heap dump will give us a view of the classes and objects allocated in the Java heap at the time of the collection. Java core output, which will show the stack frames for all threads at the time of occurrence. The server logs. These include all of the logs within the WebSphere application server's server profiles logs directory. This is the system out log, system error log, trace log, and tracing is enabled, etc. And also the FFBC files for the first failure data capture from the same profile. Additionally, a PI export or project interchange export of the application or applications in question, including any dependencies needed to load and run the application. In some environments, there may be a number of applications running on the server experiencing the symptoms, and it may not be clear which application or applications are causing the symptoms. In this case, it is okay to hold off on collecting a PI export until further investigation is completed. And finally, last but not least, a sample message running through the flow at the time of the problem, or if that is not feasible, then a description of the workload at the time of the out-of-memory condition would be helpful. Slide five, please. So preparing for a reoccurrence. In the instance where the symptoms are occurring with a high frequency or are recreatable on demand, there are several things which can be done in preparation for a reoccurrence. First action would be to enable verbose garbage collection. For those who are unfamiliar, this is a very lightweight mechanism that saves garbage collection information in system logs. There's a good deal of information available online regarding the specific steps to enable this on your JVM, so we're not going to go into detail here regarding those procedures. The second action to perform would be to configure your WebSphere application server log files to be of a larger size and or to save more copies of the system logs as they wrap. Information on how to perform this can be found in the WebSphere application server's user's guide. Once the log configuration has been updated, save the server config, then stop the server, move, rename, or delete the current system logs, FFDC files, and cores, then restart the server. Then go ahead and recreate the symptoms if possible. After a reoccurrence does occur, collect the heap dump, Java core, server logs, and a sample message being sent through the flow at the time of reoccurrence if possible, and forward these into support. Slide 6, please.
Hello, this is Andy Passman from Hursley. Thanks, Robert. Something to bear in mind with your mediation flows is that all of the primitives and the subflows and the terminals in your mediation flow are instantiated and are kept in memory until your message has been processed. So if you look in your development environment, the number of subflows you see, the number of icons you see, and the number of branches you have will give you an indication of how much memory that is going to occupy in the runtime. And then if you combine a very complicated message flow, mediation flow, with a large message, say anything above 10 meg, then you'll begin to realize that there are a limited number of concurrent threads that you can process of a complicated flow with a large message. Okay, and we have identified some problems in the WSB runtime to do with handling these. The first sort of category is actual memory leaks. This is objects that are created in a WSB mediation flow that aren't dereferenced, so the memory is never released until the application server is recycled. There's not too many of those. The category we have more problem with is where we end up with objects associated with the specific message rather than with the mediation flow not being dereferenced and being maintained in memory until another message is processed. So what we're trying to do in WSB in a mediation flow is keep the objects associated with the message flow live and dereference all the objects associated with the specific message so that those can be garbage collected. Another circumstance where we have problems is where we have fan out and fan in nodes and you can be iterating over elements in a message. And in those circumstances, what we're trying to do there is we're trying to dereference any objects associated with the element so that we're not building up a large amount of memory as we go through each element in the iteration. But you have to bear in mind that those are the limitations, really, are how complicated your flow is, how big the message is, and if you're using fan out and fan in, how many elements you're iterating over. Next slide, please. 7. We have a number of problems we have found with WSB and have produced fixes for some of these. The memory leaks are listed here. The first one is a problem whereby if you start and stop applications from the admin console and don't recycle the server, then there's a memory leak. But this one, if you recycle the server, you don't experience this. The second one is a problem where as you get towards the limit of memory usage, you can get first failure data capture from an MQ or JMS bindings, the actual full contents of the message is written out, and this actually causes you an out-of-memory exception. The next one is a problem where if you've got a lot of promoted properties in your mediation module, this can cause out-of-memory exceptions. The next leak is, this only happens in version 7, and this is a problem whereby service runtimes exceptions can cause a leak. And this is particularly awkward if you get near to your heap limit usage and you're getting a lot of garbage collection, things start timing out and you start having exceptions and it exacerbates the problem. So that's certainly, you want to install that on version 7. Next slide, please. Now, these are a set that are not actually technically message leaks, but that's obviously no comfort to you if you're getting out-of-memory exceptions. The first one is, if you have complex message flows with a lot of branches and subflows, there are occasions where we have duplicate objects for some of the legs in the tree. Okay, that's IC66713. The other one, IC66137, the next one, is a problem where if you have a lot of concurrent threads, we are in fact having too high a live set for each thread. The next one is IC66490, and this is specific to subflows. The last APAR is for fan out and fan in, where you're iterating over elements in a message. And this is one where the live set builds up because we are keeping hold of some objects as we process each element, rather than them being dereferenced and garbage collected after the element is processed. So, for example, if you've got 1,000 elements in your message, by the time you've got to the end of that processing, we will have built up quite a lot of memory. Next slide. These are some resources to do with tuning WESB and performance tuning WESB. The version 7 performance tuning book applies pretty much to the version 6, and this covers in much more detail how to tune your WESB environment. And there's the Info Center development guide. And I'll hand back to Robert for slide 10.
Thank you. This slide on slide 10 includes links to a number of sites that provide some valuable information, some resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts, like the one you're attending today, and to access the previously recorded presentations, including the recording of this one today. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. Also, the WebSphereUserGroup.org is user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. And the SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And lastly, there's the My Notifications link on all product support pages, which lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of your interest. I'm going to go ahead and proceed to slide 11 and hand this back over to Joseph.
Thank you, Robert and Andy, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
If you'd like to ask a question on the phone, please dial *1 at this time. Mike Capern, your line is open.
Hi. Thanks very much for this presentation, Andy and Robert. I appreciate it, especially the detailed comment where you characterized what you consider to be a large message, you know, back on the slide where you were talking about some of the causes of this. You said, from your point of view, a large message is anything over 10 megabytes. Do you have any similar comments on what you mean by heavy use of subflows? What's trivial and what gets into the heavy use category?
Well, for the large message size, I said that would be 10 megabytes about with a typical message flow. In fact, with a very simple message flow in a 32-bit JVM, we can handle an 80 meg message. So it really depends exactly on how many primitives and everything there are in those subflows. So you've got to sort of imagine you expanding it out, and you've got the same sort of limitation, really. I think the thing with putting things into subflows is you sort of lose track of how much you've got in there, but that is all instantiated with the mediation flow when you process your first message. So it's sort of optimized to process lots of messages on that thread. So you don't want to be instantiating a message flow and then just processing one message. I'm not sure if that's really answering the question. There's such a lot of variables there.
Yeah, that helps to point out the different dimensions of the problem. But in a 32-bit JVM, once you start tying up over 100 megabytes on a particular interaction, you're in trouble.
Yes, yes. The message size expands to far greater than if you've got a 10-meg message, depending on how complicated, that's going to expand to a much larger set of business objects, Java business objects. You know, maybe up to 8 or 9 times as much.
Great, thanks.
Aiden, your line is open.
If you have a custom data handler class, are we responsible for closing the input stream that's passed the data handler class, or the framework, runtime framework, closes the stream?
I'm not entirely sure of the answer to that, but if you have custom code, that is one of the areas where message mediation flows can be kept live. So I'm not sure of the specific answer, but if you can, you should close it.
Okay, thank you.
You'd probably best put that one in an email so I can follow up.
Okay, thank you.
I will just reiterate that for anyone else who's got custom code. We do investigate a lot of out-of-memory exceptions where there's a lot of message flows building up in heap dumps. And in fact, when we investigate them, we often find that there's some custom Java code there and somebody's keeping a reference to an object which is then keeping a lot of other objects alive. So you've always got to look at your custom code as well.
Our next question comes from Sri Smith. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Srinivas. I have a question around mediation flows getting orphaned in the memory. So we have a scenario where our mediation flow ends with an email import, and our email import isn't configured properly, so that's raising an exception. And we see the mediation flows getting orphaned in the memory. And eventually, after a certain time, we experience the ORM exceptions, and we have to reboot the system. Do you have any comment on... of course, also, we have an existing PMR about this issue. It's been there for a while.
Okay. I think when we do our performance testing and our stress testing here on WESB, generally what we do is if we experience exceptions, we fix our exceptions, and then we rerun our performance test cases and our stress test cases overnight. So we are testing pretty hard our non-exception situations, if you know what I mean. So we're driving the good cases as hard as we can. We are probably not driving the exceptions cases to the same extent. And a couple of the actual proper memory leaks I mentioned in the previous slide are exception cases. So I'd be surprised to find a lot of out of memory exceptions out of memory leaks in our normal code, but I would be prepared to believe that exception cases don't get as thoroughly tested. I understand this. You don't want to be losing memory because your email server provider is down or something. We would have to, I think, to debug that, we would have to model your flow, and we would have to drive a decent amount of work code through it and test it ourselves.
Right. You know, for us, basically, it affects the system availability and whatnot, right? You know.
Sure. Have you got any idea how many messages you process whilst your email's down, whilst you're throwing email exceptions, and how long that takes to?
Right. I think we had about 1,400 mediation flows in memory, R-Fund.
Right.
After that, we experienced the OIM scenario.
Right. That case where where you're getting an exception from an adapter, mm-hmm. and it appears to be leaking memory, we would have to model that and reproduce it here.
Right, and we uploaded the PI, with the PMR. So
sure. It doesn't sound like it would take too much to recreate that.
You just need a vanilla, test case, right?
Sure.
Email import and check if mediation.
Right.
Gets
passed. Right.
In fact, we had a prior instance where we had a similar problem on like a HTTP import or web service import.
Right.
And that, you see, it appears that was fixed in one of the APARs. I think.
Are you on version 7? I can't.
Yes, we are on version
7. Oh, okay. So you got you installed the fix for the exceptions,
uh-huh.
but have found it doesn't fix the email adapter.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, we need to get on and have a look at that one, because I do agree it's been there a long time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Another question from Andrew Vandervelde. Your line is open.
Hi. We have received bad performance with concurrency. We have one process that does a lot of database transactions and is hogging up a lot of resources, and it seems to prevent other messages from coming through. So I was wondering, are there things that we can do to increase performance? What would you suggest?
I didn't quite catch that. You wanted to know how to increase the performance, but I didn't hear the description of your environment.
What are you specifically needing?
What are you, 32-bit or 64-bit?
Right now it's 32-bit.
32-bit.
Yeah. And we have some custom code that is accessing a external database.
Right.
And then that process, it's a long running process that gets kicked off, and then that is executing a lot of database transactions, a lot of updates and inserts, and then we also have other messages, coming in at the same time.
Yeah. And that, you think that long running transaction is basically affecting the responses and throughput of the other threads?
That's what it seems like. I mean, and we haven't done any performance tuning. That's something that we're gonna look at, but in terms of maybe the Java heap size or things like that, what would be a good recommendation maybe for just a base install for ESB or for, I guess, in this situation?
It's so hard to give a base one, but if you've basically if you're 32-bit, and are you Windows or a Linux or
Windows right now?
Windows. So about the maximum heap size you could go to 32-bit is to about 1.3 or 1.4. If you go beyond that, you'd be sort of stealing heap from your native code. So about 1.4 would be the maximum, but this is a particular problem where you have a mixed workload where you've got some threads that need a good throughput and a good response time, and then every now and again you've got another message or another thread that hogs a lot of CPU time and creates a lot of memories, a lot of heap objects. And basically, what we would generally say is if that is the case, and then you possibly need to think of two servers. But before you go down that route, what you want to do is enable verbose GC and look at your heap usage and in particular look at what of your objects are in your tenured heap area and what are in your nursery heap area. I'm assuming you would be using GenCon as your heap tuning, as your heap parameter, which is general concurrent, which is what we would generally recommend for everything except for very large messages. But then once you've got some verbose GC output from a typical run, then you can look at where the objects are. There's tools to investigate that, and you can see what size you have of long-lived objects and what size of short-lived objects, and then you could sort of tune your heap based on that. It's hard to give general guidelines, really.
Okay, well, yeah, we had gone the route of putting that process, intensive process, on another server.
Right.
So we went that route, and we're going to go back and see if we can tune it to where, you know, we could get it to run on one server. And, of course, if not, then we'll put it on a separate server and use that for the process.
Right. If you enable verbose GC, that will give you a lot of information. Another thing you can do, if you've got a test environment where you can do this, you could manually generate some heap dumps, and you could look at how the objects are changing over time and see if you can identify, you know, what is taking all the memory. It's a long process, though, I think, that tuning exercise.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I have no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. I do have two questions that just came in through the group chat, so I am going to announce these questions verbally to our speakers. The first question here is, can you give an example on concurrent threading in the workflow?
What I meant by this is where you've deployed a message flow into the application server, and then you have a large number of clients connect, and so you will end up with a lot of threads processing the same message with different versions of the same message flow.
Thank you, Andy. And the other question that came in was, in a cluster, only one messaging engine is active for persistent store. Is IBM planning to support multiple messaging engines anytime soon?
I don't know the answer to that one. I can find out if there's any announcements along those lines, but I don't know the answer to that.
Thank you, Andy. At this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.